When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And Dylan, one of our favorite times of the year as we get ready for the start of the NFL season, but we get to talk about fantasy football. In our fantasy football primer for the 2023 NFL season, we're going to talk about some of the top players and the top positions and then some breakout candidates, some sleeper picks as well. And we'll see at the end of the season which one of these perhaps breakout candidates or sleeper picks we get right. But Dylan, let's jump into like just the top guys at some of the, again, your main positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver. I don't know if we can necessarily label tight end as a great position anymore, but at least there's value at the top in terms of what some of these guys produce. But let's start with the quarterbacks. I know not running back, wide receiver will be most people's first thing, but we'll just start at the top here in terms of looking at the quarterbacks. No surprise to see the usual candidates again near the top: Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. I think you've got Lamar in there. Joe Burrow going to be in that conversation as well. Feels like to me, Dylan, when you look at this top tier of quarterbacks, I feel like there's a pretty clear top five, and it's these five guys we just mentioned. I think the most interesting aspect is going to be who are the guys below them, and yeah. I have a feeling we're going to bring up a couple of those guys in terms of the breakout candidates probably. But it seems like, if you're in a position where, your draft strategy is I want to make sure I get one of the top quarterbacks, if that's what you're going for, then I would probably look at one of these top five. And then after that, I feel like, I don't know if it's a significant drop off, but I do think these are, in terms of production, these are the guys you're probably most confident in.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's maybe a little bit of a group of separation. I know we put in here, I like mark them all, I like group of five or so under tier one. But I think based on where most guys are being drafted and where I understand like reasonably expectations would lie, you're seeing more Mahomes, Hurts, Allen in some order kind of earlier than the others, depending on if you're in a 12-team league. They might be end of the second round, early third round. And then you kind of wait a sec till you see the Burrow and Lamar. I mean, obviously, even if the Ravens, for everything they say about how they're going to be throwing the ball more and it's not going to be an offense built on just run first Lamar Jackson stuff, we know inevitably he's still going to find his openings and take them. And nonetheless, and that works quite well for a fantasy quarterback as long as he stays on the field. Obviously, it's that next group that, yeah, I think it's kind of like sometimes you will see them bunched together the same way. Like right now on Fantasy Pros, you have in half PPR leagues, Mahomes at 24 overall pick, Hurts 26, Allen 27. Sometimes you'll see that group. Then you'll see a big drop off before the next one. But it's kind of a trickle down between, I think, some people trying to predict at least after that next group, as you mentioned, Lamar at 39, and then we have Burrow at 45. I think where you see Justin Fields at 50, I think that's kind of trying to jump on what happened last year with Jalen Hurts in terms of finding that next guy that's, and I mean, he was a league winner for me in my league with my college buddies. Like, I forget if I drafted him, and that's a 14-team league. I forget if it was the fifth round or what it was, but I mean, that ended up being, even though he was injured for the fantasy playoffs, he ended up being a big reason we got there. And obviously, finding that kind of guy, getting the value still kind of high in the draft at receiver and running back, and then still being able to get a quarterback that produces at that kind of level can be a league winner. So you see I think people are looking at Justin Fields as maybe he's that guy. That'd be fantastic. I'd love if Justin Fields went nuclear this year and put up top 3-4 fantasy numbers at the position. And whatever that means for the Bears record, I think you would take it as a Bears fan if you're a seeing that kind of production, what it could mean for your team and roster. But yeah, I understand that top five. I think like that top three, though, again, Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, I think they're kind of in their own group. If you can get them even a little lower than this, like more so in the 30s range for a draft where members are purposely trying to load up at more premium positions, I wouldn't be opposed to doing it, because those guys, at the end of the day, having someone you can rely on, it just makes it so much easier. How many fantasy seasons we've probably all had where you just are constantly week to week trying to maybe not deciding between quarterbacks to pick up on the fantasy wire, but maybe you have like two guys and you're like never confident of who's going to be that one week where they just can't find it, can't get it going. So I understand for people that do, even though I've always traditionally myself kind of held off on taking QBs until at least the middle rounds, I understand why you'd draft one of those three that high, because it just makes it so much easier. But the next group behind them, like I think I would still take Lamar next after the top three, and then between Burrow and Fields or Herbert, I know he's not even that much further down. I think you can make an argument for any of them, but it's which one I honestly would be comfortable with any of those guys. I'm just trying to get them just a little further down if I can from that from the spots that are being taken right now, and I think that's the difference. Because after Lawrence, I mean, Trevor's like the next QB down, I think it looks like more so in the 80s or 70s or so range. And then after that, there's a big drop off to Deshaun Watson's, Dax, and to Daniel Jones. And that's where, yeah, I'd love to believe that one of those guys can be a top five fantasy quarterback, but you're going to have that doubt in the back of your mind. And maybe Dak can be that guy, but again, as I've talked about, at least I'm not concerned so much with him. But going from Kellen Moore to Mike McCarthy there, and seeing what that means, it sounds like they want to run the football even more than a team that's already run the football quite a bit. So what that means for Dak's fantasy value, I'm not sure. I'd feel pretty good though about maybe any of that group of like 4 to 8 guys after the top three. If they just fall a little bit further down, I'm feeling pretty good. And I think Lawrence, I don't know, obviously last year, late in the season, I'm sure a lot of people won fantasy leagues that had him because he went off basically the whole like last 5, 6, 7 weeks of the year. But I think he's starting to creep into that area where I feel pretty good about them. And their defense still has a lot of work to do. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for a fantasy quarterback. It often means you have to score a lot of points to win games. So that might mean good things for Trevor Lawrence.
All right. The running backs, kind of your usual guys here, except for one newcomer, as we know, Christian McCaffrey seemingly at the top. And of course, this is a little bit different. Depends on what kind of league you're in. If you're in standard, half PPR, PPR, yep, these will fluctuate a little bit. But you guys, I think, know by now who the guys are catching the passes, and that's why Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, certainly I think Tony Pollard's value goes way up now. Moving forward, and he's someone that I think is in this range somewhere as well. Derrick Henry, to me, Dylan's an interesting one. I don't know that I'm as confident in putting him in this top five, this group, although, look, he's not gonna be much further behind that. But, I don't know that I see that. And, of course, again, Nick Chubb's going to be in the mix. And then there's the rookie, which is, always an interesting dynamic when you talk about what Bijan Robinson could do with the Falcons. But as we've said before, it's a team that likes to run the ball, and I think just the way that the roster is made up, I feel like they are certainly going to feed him a lot, even though we've seen them use, it feels like, 4 running backs a season for the past however many years. And then, Dylan, let's add in the ultimate wild card here of Jonathan Taylor. I don't know if I mentioned Saquon Barkley, but he's also in the mix. But, I mean, Jonathan Taylor, we don't even know he's going to play for. So it's if we assume he's not going to play for the Colts, well, all of a sudden, he could be someone that winds up, in the top three, maybe, depending on where he goes.
Yeah.
This is, as always, I mean, this is just such an interesting position, but I think you've got a pretty good group of 8 to 10 guys that you feel pretty strongly about. Josh Jacobs could be someone in that category, but I think it's pretty clear at this point. McCaffrey, Eckler, Chubb, to me, I'd call them as close to locks as you could probably get, just in terms of those three. Yeah, maybe you're rolling the dice a little bit on a Robinson or a Derrick Henry, even maybe Saquon a little bit. I'm pretty high on Tony Pollard. I think that, he's someone as well I feel really good about, just in that offense, even though, like you just talked about, there's a little bit of a change there. But, yeah, I mean, this is the group you're used to seeing at the top with a Bijan Robinson added in, and just the unknowns of what a Jonathan Taylor could be depending on who he's playing for.
Yeah, the only thing with Pollard, I love Tony Pollard. I know we've talked about him a lot on the spot, just in general, more from a football than a fantasy kind of perspective. My concern, there was some stuff about last year, obviously, as the injury and how he recovers from that will be a big thing. But just times where there'd be games where he's things are clicking, going off, and it'll be there was a quote from like the mid third quarter of one game where he'd basically had a long touchdown run and said, "That's all I got today," and didn't play the fourth quarter, didn't play the rest of the third. And the most recent kind of, I think Dan Graziano over ESPN, they had a quote about how they're still trying to limit his touches with Zeke gone and just making sure they don't overwork him as they kind of make him the running back one. So what that means fantasy-wise, we'll see. I still think he's belongs kind of towards the top of the group, but there's a little more hesitation than I would have.
Yeah.
Just when I think about the Dallas Cowboys offense, that offensive line, and what I just said about Mike McCarthy and the philosophy of wanting to run more, we'll just see who that guy is. Maybe it might be more of a split, but I still think I feel pretty highly about him. But yeah, I think, like you said, that top three with McCaffrey, Eckler, and Chubb, I feel so great about all those guys. Chubb just an absolute workhorse and hasn't slowed down one bit. I don't know if I'm as concerned because of the Browns have done a good job over the years of not. Even if he is clearly the running back one, they've done a good job of breaking things up and not, giving him some drives off, and he's not always the guy back there. So I don't know if you're as concerned as, what started to happen maybe last year with Derrick Henry. Had a resurgence at one point, but early in the year didn't look quite the same. So I understand why, like you said, he might be just on the outside. I think I feel a lot better right now about Josh Jacobs than Jonathan Taylor because they at least got that deal finally put into place, yeah. And we actually know where he's going to be, and the Raiders are a team that, as much as some question marks about the offensive line, I think they're a better run blocking group. We saw what they did last year with Jacobs, and I don't think there's any reason to believe that he can't still be a pretty effective fantasy running back, and I still think they're going to make him a focal point of the offense. Taylor, like you said, it's a wild card at this point. I mean, as the main reason I love having drafts right before the regular season starts to give everyone plenty of time to see the actual injury news going into the season, but also in this case, where the heck he's going to be. So, I know Miami's been the one that's been the most heavily mentioned. Only concern there is we know that Mike McDaniel and that team are going to use a lot of running backs still. They already have some guys in place that they feel good about, so I don't think they're going to rush to necessarily get Jonathan Taylor. But he's definitely the wild card. We forget. Yeah, because last year things did not. He was like the stone cold lock of the century, number one pick, right, or number one running back at least, and did not pan out that way at all for a number of reasons, not just because of his own fault. That offensive line, man, it really had some struggles. But I want to feel good about him, but you could take a shot maybe if you have a deeper draft and you get a receiver really high and he's. Say you're in a 12-team league and he falls to like the middle of second round and you need a running back and you're looking behind him and you're like, oh, I don't know about Ramondre Stevenson. And as much as I love the player in New England, it's always interesting with fantasy running backs, as we know. So you got some Najee Harris, Jahmyr Gibbs down here. And speaking of a rookie, a lot of hype around him. He's in the kind of in the 30 or low 30s range, but I'm excited to see Bijan. I know they still have some other running backs and still feel like we'll see how quickly he becomes like the bell cow kind of back. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be exactly the case, but I still would not feel terrible just given what we saw from the Falcons offense, given what, we talked about it briefly in the NFC episode, just how big their offensive line is. With Desmond Ridder, we know this team's going to want to set things up and give him as many easy passing situations as they can. That often comes with running the football and forcing the defense to commit more guys to the box. So, yeah, I feel okay about him behind that next group, right with Saquon. Running backs, get them early. I know there's there's some stuff right now about going zero RB and early on just loading up on the top receivers, and that's all great, but man, I don't care, even if you're in PPR, you need some running backs, and the amount of guys you can reliably count on going into the season seems to always be shrinking. There's a lot of great running backs in the league, as we know, but this is the problem, the same reason why they're not getting paid as well as they believe what their value is. There's so many good players, and then there's a lot of teams have more than one guy, so if you can get one of these guys at the top, I'm sorry, as much as I love Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson and some of these receivers, Jamar Chase, I'm probably taking one of those top three, and I'm still feeling pretty good. I'm rolling the dice on Saquon because I know he stayed healthy relatively healthy for the first time in a while. But when he is that good and is on the field, I mean, that can be a big reason that you're able to go deep in the playoffs. And you look at the rest of the teams in your league that are struggling to figure out their running back situations. You want to feel good about that. So I think if you're out of these guys, though, outside of McCaffrey, Eckler, I think Chubb's the one. If you can get Nick Chubb and you just don't want to have any concerns about risk, I think he's probably maybe the safest guy here. I just feel the best about him and that offensive line and what he's going to be able to do, as and maybe finally realizing also as a pass catcher they can use him a bit more last season. So excited to see what Nick Chubb and the Browns do. But, man, it's going to be a fun season for Atlanta with Bijan. The hype, there's a reason the hype's there. You see the flashes in training camp and the brief preseason. I know he didn't play in the last preseason game, but some of the other ones. And yeah, he looks like the real deal right off the bat. You could strike gold with him and end up having a league winner type guy. I'm not as hesitant with him as I might be with some rookies that usually are kind of taken into this conversation, just given the situation Atlanta's in.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the more interesting ones. It's interesting that Bijan and Jonathan Taylor are the two most fascinating guys in this group, and they kind of, Bijan's in the former Jonathan Taylor role, where he's landed the new guy, and everyone's kind of banking on a huge season. So we'll see if that happens. All right, wide receiver. Boy, this is an interesting group, too. Again, PPR, half PPR, standard, all matters when it comes to choosing exactly where some of these guys are going to be. Yeah. But I don't think, no matter what format you're playing in, my guess is you're going to have Justin Jefferson at the very top. I can't imagine you're going to put anyone else there. Jamar Chase, probably a close second. Tyreek Hill, we know, could have a huge year.
Yep.
Once again, we saw that. I think I might have been the guy that predicted, I just don't know about Tyreek Hill. We saw what can happen with him. He's still really good, of course. So he's there. I mean, after that, Dylan, I think you've got, that group where you start to look at, Cooper Kupp, obviously. I think an A.J. Brown with the Eagles is always interesting just based on, what Jalen Hurts has become. Stephon Diggs probably, going to be in that category for a lot of people as well. I'll be honest, the Davante Adams one, I'm just not – I don't know, man. I get it, but it quarterback play matters, right? And I just not – I don't know. I don't know if I'm – he's dropped down the board a little bit. Let's just put it that way. He's not the guy that's in the top three right now, but he's probably still, in your top 10 range, especially when you kind of look at what's around him after that. But so that's probably where you would start. CeeDee Lamb as well. Again, if you're banking on the Cowboys offense and what they can be. Amon-Ra St. Brown's another interesting one. We talked about kind of his emergence last year with the Lions. And again, if we're all kind of projecting the Lions to be a playoff team and those kind of things, it's going to have to be with him involved for sure. So seems to me, Dylan, that's, I don't know, that's eight or nine guys I think we threw in there, but I think it's pretty clear. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, probably Tyreek Hill to me in some order. I think I would go that order. Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek Hill, 1 through 3. After that, I think that's where you can, have the argument whether you want a Cooper Kupp, a CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, those kind of guys right there afterwards.
Yeah, 100%. I'd feel good about this group overall, though. I mean, there's just so many talented receivers. It's kind of ridiculous. Every year, the rookie classes come through, and you see now Justin going into his, third season, and he hasn't really – I mean, he's already, clear-cut the top guy. Jamar, just insane. The whole group of that LSU receiving group, I mean, just hilarious, the talent they have. But, I feel that top three, I agree. As much as I love Cooper Kupp, I'm keeping him probably just a little bit under that group because, they're going to have to go to him a ton. Teams are going to know that. I know he beats double teams constantly, but I think, you see the difference, in certain parts of the – back when Robert Woods was really cooking with the Rams offense and when they had Odell for the end of the Super Bowl season, when you have that second option, it not just does that guy get a lot of openings because of having a Cooper Kupp on their team, but it just really allows defense not just to sit and only defend one guy. I know the Rams have some other good players and are excited to see what they can do, but I really think that's his volume we know is going to be high, but you see the toll it can take too. They use him such a physical role as a run blocker as well. What that means for his health, I think he's still in that group, but I think I feel a bit better. I know Tyreek, obviously, he's got some little dings here and there, but feeling pretty good about Jefferson, Chase, and Hill, and I think it's in that order. Definitely Jefferson, as you said, at the top. After that, there's guys that I think could sneak up into, when we're looking at the end of the season, who finishes top five. along with that three. I know maybe I'm reading too much into it, you know, watching some of the brief moments on that first drive between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson in the season preseason finale. But I think the chemistry is definitely growing there. And I think right now he's 10th overall in Fantasy Pros at the receiver position. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw Garrett Wilson finish top five. I know last year was kind of a frustrating player, but in terms of week-to-week production, it was hard to know as I had him in the league that I won. I didn't always play him on weeks that he had a lot of points. Other times he put up, I think, basically nothing at certain points. And I don't know if you're going to be as concerned. You look at the Jets, obviously, there's a huge difference in quarterback play going to Aaron Rodgers from what they've had in the past. Like you said, different situation for Devontae, where you're going from, I mean, I still feel pretty good about him, but yeah, we saw the natural chemistry. We knew that him and Derek had played at Fresno State and knew each other really well and were great friends and all these things that with Jimmy, we'll see how quickly it comes together. They have a lot of talented players. I do think that does help Devontae. This isn't like the at times where I think the Rams Steve offense can be a little, especially on third downs. They know the Rams are trying to go to Cooper Kupp, and obviously Vegas is still trying to go to Devontae, but it's just hard. A team I think that's a little more at the receiving position right now has a lot of great route runners, as we've talked about, and I think I still feel okay about Devontae, but where he is at nine, obviously we've been used to him being kind of in that conversation where, like, all right, top three, four guys, no matter what, even when he went to Vegas from Green Bay. I don't know if it's that same conversation, because I do think the Garrett Wilsons of the world and the Amon-Ra and St. Browns, like, these guys are focal points of their offenses, but also I don't think such to the point where a defense is just completely trying to only take them away. As you mentioned, I love AJ Brown. He's sometimes a boom or bust guy, just because of the amount of receiving talent they have. And there's some games where Philly's just not going to need to throw the ball a lot because they're going to run over teams. I think CD is definitely, I mean, I know he's already basically in the top five here at sixth overall. I think he's the guy I would put I feel the best maybe about in this next group of getting being a top five scorer and possibly ahead of some of those other guys at the top, just because even if Dallas just tried to run the ball more, CD is that guy for them. And they have so much balance on offense, though. You're like, that's the thing that's doomed the Rams too, and to Cooper Kupp. So, you know, make it tougher there. It's a team that can become predictable at times until they're able to really establish the run game again. They just have not done it. Dallas does not have that problem. And I think that, as we've seen with CD and what they've kind of were able to do with him last year, I'm not overly worried about him having a huge fall off, you know, going away from Kellen Moore. I think the Cowboys identify just how talented this guy is. I think he does have that true number one talent. I put him right up there. I didn't even talk about Diggs, but I always feel great about Stephon Diggs. I know there's a lot of stuff made of the on the sideline and all the banter back and forth with him and Josh, and obviously they're great friends, but also can get fiery in the moment of some of these games. But at the end of the day, these are really high competitors. I think Josh Allen's, you know, all world, obviously. So to put Diggs right there, I know in this order they have with Kupp above Diggs, I might take Diggs above Kupp. I could really come back to bite me. It's not a lack of loving Cooper Kupp, as you know, but I feel pretty good about Diggs and Lamb maybe in the next group, right there with the top three.
All right. Well, felt great about running back, wide receiver, quarterbacks. Now we're to the tight ends, which I don't know how long we'll spend on these because, again, you want to talk about, I mean, it's well documented at this point kind of what this group has looked like over the past couple of years, still dominated by the usual names at the top. You're going to look at Travis Kelce as a top-producing receiver-type guy, not just a tight end, so he's just kind of part of this group now. Mark Andrews, you know, I think a lot of that's all going to be dependent on, you know, Lamar Jackson, and that's kind of been the connection we've seen there. And so I think those, to me, are the very clear top two. I know TJ Hockenson kind of included in that same range for a lot of people as well, but I think Kelce and Andrews to me are one and two there in that order. Hockenson three, but maybe a little bit behind after that. Dylan, I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know what to make of some of these guys and what they're gonna do this season. Now George Kittle you would think will be just fine, but we always talk about, it's, you know, there's enough to go around. You just talked about it with the Eagles. So, I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed in this 49ers offense. And so, you know, I think I felt okay. Yeah, I mean, and I felt okay having Kittle towards the end of last year at times. But it's like, yeah, it's not the George Kittle of however many years ago, just from a fantasy production standpoint. You got Darren Waller, who's now with the Giants, which I think, you know, I still probably am okay with it to have him as kind of one of the next guys in this tier. But again, I'm just not anywhere near as confident as I would be with one of those top three, even if Darren Waller may wind up being the guy right behind him. Then you've got Kyle Pitts. We got to talk about Kyle Pitts because, again, it was the fantasy darling last year. We know the production just was not, just was not there. Let's call it what it is. Evan Engram, a little bit of a resurgence last year with the Jags. Dallas Goedert's always, a fine option just, again, within that Eagles offense, but there's a lot to go around. So I don't have much more to say about this position, Dylan. I think it's Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Hockenson, or bust maybe for me. If you want to put Waller in there with the Hockenson range, that may be okay, but I think it's one of those three guys, and everyone else is probably hit or miss at times, just given the position.
I think you give a pretty good breakdown there. I think you're on top of your tight ends more than you think. I think for me it starts obviously with Kelce and Andrews, but I think that's where they kind of have on Fantasy Pros tiers like we like to do it, and they have Hockenson in tier one before a larger pool of tier two. I'd probably go Kelce, Andrews 1-2. That's tier one. Tier two is maybe like you said. I think I feel pretty good about Waller and the role that and how Dable's going to be able to use him and what he can mean as an outlet for Daniel Jones. I just think that's going to work in my mind. I don't know if it's going to. I'm not putting it again. I'm not predicting, unlike some of these other ones where I'm like, maybe CeeDee Lamb ends up in the top three, or maybe this running back ends up here. Like, I don't think, I'm thinking stone cold block for me that Kelce and Andrews are in some order going to be 1-2, probably Kelce at the top. But I think Waller does, I feel pretty good about that. I'd feel okay if I'm not going to reach for him, but if he falls down to his ADP, which was, I'm looking at their order, so let me see where he's actually going. For the most part, yeah, at 61. Depending on your situation of running, if you don't feel like you've addressed running back and well enough, and maybe those top quarterbacks are off the board already, and now you're going to wait a little bit longer to get your guy, I'd feel okay about taking him there in that range. I do think he's going to be a solid performer, and this is a position that I like to have settled to an extent. Have historically not really often had this position settled. I'm the guy that every week is looking at matchups and picking someone up and just hoping I strike gold for that 1 week. It's worked out at times, but it's tough. I mean, that's the nature of tight end, obviously. Hockenson, I just don't, in my mind, he's not quite in that tier. I wouldn't put him right up there with Kelce and Andrews, but I think him and Waller, maybe in some order, are probably the next tier down. And then Kittle, man, he's a tough one. I might put, right now they have Kittle at 5 and Goddard at 6. I might feel a little better about Goddard. I did have him in that one league last year, and I felt pretty good week to week about that. It wasn't, obviously the best tight end, but it wasn't the worst. And you feel like you still have a guy that is going to have solid performance and production, which you can't always say you can trust with everyone on here. So I'd put maybe Goddard into that group with Kittle, Waller, Hockenson in tier two. Then I break it down to tier three, and it starts with Pitts. I love to see Kyle Pitts go off and live up to all the fantasy hype. I think he's more likely a tier two, maybe a little ahead of those guys I just said. He has that kind of potential there.
But can't do it again, Dylan. I know last year. I can't do it again.
I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than and enjoy just watching Pitts without having to think about fantasy every time I watch him. So I think I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd necessarily draft him, but I'm not against anyone that does in the range he's going. And looking down the list, it gets kind of, everyone's just kind of in the middle at a certain point. Maybe with Pickett's, I think a lot of people are high on how Kenny Pickett's kind of played, obviously, in the preseason. It's just preseason. He's been going off, obviously, last year. A gamer kind of guy that was able to win a lot late in the season. I don't know how much they're really ever going to be a team that's going to have the kind of volume passing, at least overall. But I think Freiermuth, at least above like this group that he's with Dalton Schultz in Houston and Joku in Cleveland. And I'd put him, I like where he is ahead of those guys. And Evan Ingram's kind of in this range too. But I think Freiermuth at least has the potential to be at least a guy that's, you could rely on week to week. I'm not saying you're feeling great about it, but I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too highly of the Steelers, and we'll talk about them a bit in our next episode, making our season predictions. But it's tight end. It's fantasy football. It is what it is. If you can get one if it's Dallas Goedert for me, like in that range, I'd do it. Just so you don't have to be the guy every week claiming people. It's just a it's a tough life. If you can get one of the top two guys, great. It makes sense. That's wonderful. But only two out of every 12 people to 14 people listening to this are going to be able to do that. So it's going to be, it's a lot of you are going to be trying to figure things out on the fly otherwise.
Yeah, I think for me, unless I get Travis Kelce, I'm doing the week-to-week thing again. That seemed to be the rotating way just seemed to work better for me. So, that's probably the direction that I would go in. So, all right, let's talk about some of the breakout candidates. We kind of already mentioned these guys, but Dylan, we'll throw in anybody else quickly that we want to. Then we'll get to the sleeper picks, which I think is the most interesting of the group. All right, breakout candidates. We've talked about Tony Pollard. Garrett Wilson, you mentioned him. Bijan Robinson, just by nature of being a rookie and having a chance to be a top five perhaps fantasy guy, I think he certainly falls in the mix. Jahmyr Gibbs, someone else I think is interesting with the Lions, as we know. So he's someone else that I think that could be, one of those ones that you see really break out just depending on how they use him. But I think he's going to be pretty remarkable in that offense. And I think he definitely qualifies. And then, of course, Justin Fields, which, I know you've kind of got on our list here, Dylan, if we kind of include him in the breakout category. I still think you can, because I think there's a lot of ways he can get better.
Yeah.
And so if that happens, he could be, he might wind up being one or two. And I know it's crazy to think he could be one, but, like, realistically, just given what he can do with his legs, and we saw just kind of some of the wild things, he could wind up being, one of the top two or three options for sure. So that's just kind of who we have in the breakout list. And again, Dylan, if you want to add anything else on those guys, but I'll save my others for the sleeper category.
Yeah, I know sleeper and breakouts are just a little different. Obviously, sleepers usually guys deeper down in drafts. At least that's how I've kind of always thought about it. Because breakouts, usually guys we've seen in a couple cases, with the rookies here and Gibbs and Robinson. That's not the case, but I don't think anyone's really sleeping on those guys and the roles they're going to have in Detroit and in Atlanta. So I would love for Pollard to break out and become a top 3-4 guy, just for the reasons I talked about. I have my concerns there, but I still think he's worth mentioning. Obviously talked about Garrett Wilson when we went through the receivers and why I feel pretty good about that happening. Justin, I want to see it. I want it to happen, not just because I loved watching him play coming out of college and was really excited for what it could mean for Chicago and felt good about them. All right, finally, are the Bears going to have a quarterback? Just a complete side tangent real quick. I did not realize, because the Bears passing game historically has been, let's say, not great. their leading receiver all time went to my college, UC Santa Barbara, which hasn't had a D1 football team, I think, since the 70s. So, yeah, it's been a bleak amount of, even for when you have really talented pass catchers there, they haven't always had the best guys throwing them the ball. So maybe Justin can kind of break those things out. I know a lot of this is contingent on him running and being just fantastic that way. But I do think if Fields can stay healthy, I feel better. It's still a team that's going to need to score a lot of points to compete, because I think the defense still is more than a couple pieces away. It's going to take a little more time. I like the process they have, and they've added to the offensive line. I think that will help. So as long as Justin stays healthy, I'm a believer, even if it could backfire badly. But yeah, those are kind of the guys in that range of, like, all right, let's look at the group that's behind the top 1-2 tiers, who could really break through. I'm just excited to see what Detroit does with Gibbs. Obviously they've talked a lot about it. There's a reason they see all the videos of them freaking out, going crazy when they're able to draft him after trading back. And I don't think he's just going to be your typical running back, and that's what they've kind of said. And you're going to have a guy that's going to be more so, I'm not putting him onto the level, obviously, of a Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler, but when you think about receiving guys that are basically running backs and receivers at the same time, that do it at the top of the game. I think Gibbs, maybe within a few years, I wouldn't be shocked if you see him with the kind of, I don't know if you're ever going to predict the production that at times McCaffrey's put up and even Eckler, but you could at least see the kind of split of, like, all right, he's getting this many targets, this many carries, and with that offensive line and some of the talented players they have around him, I wouldn't be surprised if he, even if you think that Bijan maybe is just a better pure running back, I wouldn't be surprised over time if Gibbs, in a few years from now, we're like, all right, this is another one of these weapons. He's not just a running back, he's a weapon.
All right, let's talk about some of these sleeper picks, because, again, this you may have different criteria of what you call a sleeper player. I think Dylan and I may also have different criteria in terms of what we look at. But I think there is quite a few interesting choices here, Dylan. We're going to start with the quarterback because Anthony Richardson, we know we've talked about him quite a bit. It's offseason. And I think what's interesting about him is that, you know, you're basically going to be calling him a sleeper if you're basing this on the idea that he's going to give you value with his legs. And, like, so he's going to be able to pick up a lot of rushing yards. And I think that makes him a clear sleeper. Yeah. Because of this, now his passing numbers may not be there, and quite frankly, they may not catch up the entire season. But if he can give you stuff with his legs, that's where you're going to get, you know, a couple of those 8-yard, you know, rushing touchdowns where they're inside the red zone and he can't find anybody, you know, on a quick read here, and he's got to do something, and he just makes a wild play. I think you'll see that many times this season. May not all result in touchdowns, but I just think that's what will happen. So I think, to me, he's very clearly a guy that you're going to put near the top of this category just because of the production he can give you at the quarterback position and someone who can run the ball. And yeah. So I would probably say of the entire group here, and again, we'll hit on a few other guys in a second, but if we just kind of put this on Anthony Richardson, he may be the one that's the most intriguing to me just because there is a pretty high ceiling just because of what he can do with his legs.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think he's deep, obviously, but people aren't completely, it's not like this is guys going in the 20s of QBs. Yeah. He's I think QB 15 right now, just ahead of Aaron Rodgers, and that obviously that has a lot to do with Aaron not being the runner that he used to be, like you just mentioned, with everything that Richardson can do with his feet. And he's gonna have to even if it's not designed runs, which there will be, I think they will occasionally, we know what Steichen likes that was able to do with Jalen Hurts, and I don't know if you're gonna take that right off the bat. Obviously Jalen's just such a uniquely talented guy, and his ability to, I think, as a passer is top notch, and not that Richardson doesn't have that potential. I talked about it with him back more around, later or after the draft, like I think he is a little more polished with some of his throws. And I think decision making wise, you saw some good things happen throughout the preseason. It seemed like he's able to see things happening with defenses more. Obviously these are a lot more vanilla looks than you're going to be getting in the regular season, but nonetheless, still some simulated pressures and things he's able to call out, different coverages before plays, and what that means for him as a passer, we'll see. I think his arm, the talent's there, but yeah, you see the natural ability to run, and that offensive line, as we kind of talked about Jonathan Taylor and what happened last year, not the group that we had just a few years ago, and we talked about them as a top five, top six kind of group. So you're going to have times, I think, where Richardson, his ability to just avoid sacks in itself is a huge thing that's going to help in a lot of cases. Maybe he does try to force things too much, but we've seen so far he has that athleticism to get away, and sometimes that leads to 5 yards, but other times that leads to 20 yards if he makes one guy miss. And yeah, I think he definitely has a chance to, when I would be picking him if I get past Dak and I'm getting to that group of the Kirk Cousins, Geno's, and Daniel Jones, and I'm like, do I want to just have, you know, take a little bit of a flyer here and see what happens? Maybe I'll draft one more guy not too much later that I feel a little more secure about just being reliable throughout the season. But if I could get Richardson and he works out, yeah, I think maybe this is more so going to be something that happens next season. Maybe we're a little ahead of the curve with Richardson, but no. I do think that he has a chance to be one of those guys that's being, you know, not necessarily overly slept on for a reason. He's a rookie after all, but I think there's a chance that he's going to have a pretty great fantasy season.
All right, running backs, we'll group a couple of these guys in together in terms of like the sleeper category. You've got on our list here Khalil Herbert, which I think is a great one. We've seen him, and I think just looking at the numbers, he is, what, Dylan? He's quite a bit down there. I'm looking at him right now, I think.
RB 32.
Yeah, so he's way down there. But again, I think you look at just sort of the, yeah, I mean, and he's one that you look at the numbers, like I could definitely see him kind of having it. And we saw just some big games he's had as well. You've also got J.K. Dobbins on here, another one, you know, again, I think for a team like that and understanding what his role is going to be on that team, it's not a bad idea to go with him as well. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else like running back wise that I find interesting. It's always hard, right? Because, you know, it's like you can't pick one of the four Atlanta Falcons running backs anymore because you would assume they're just going to have one guy doing that. I feel like it's always been the same, like with the Dolphins and teams like that. And, but, yeah, I mean, I think those two, I like those two choices in terms of guys who could sort of be sleepers, again, kind of in that same range. I mean, I don't know if we call Damian Pierce a sleeper still. If we do, I mean, I would put him in there, but it's just a matter of, again. I mean, I guess they added Devin Singletary to the mix too, which, you know, could complicate things a little bit, but you and I were pretty high on Pierce last year, so yeah. I'd probably put him in there. I will mention one other guy. I don't know if we put him in the sleeper, but, like, to me, Alexander Mattison, I mean, there's no one on this list that has more opportunity available to him, I feel like, than Alexander Mattison. It's just, you could put him in the breakout candidates, or do you put him in the sleeper? Either way, I would probably maybe put him near the top of this group for me, just because Dalvin Cook's not there anymore, and even though, you know, we haven't really seen Alexander Mattison in this position before, I still feel pretty confident he's going to get plenty of opportunity, and he looks like the clear number one guy there. I would put Madison probably pretty high on this list as a whole, not just in the running backs.
Yeah, in a fantasy running back world of a lot of guys having, as you just mentioned, you have, even with the Jets too, with Dalvin and Breece, you mentioned with Damian Pierce here in Houston, and now bringing in Montgomery, like, they have some, it's just not as clear cut. And when you have an act of there being one guy, Madison being quoted as the Vikings being, this is from Evan Silva, the Vikings have said that they're committed to him being the guy. I mean, that, I know it's just one word, a couple words there, but as a fantasy owner, it's not something you hear all the time. So I do think he has a potential. They're also using him much more as a receiver, kind of as we saw Dalvin over the years in Minnesota be utilized. So that they're fully expecting that Madison's going to be able to take over in that role. So, you know, my hesitations with the Vikings overall. And I don't think, I think, again, a team, the offensive line kind of always teetering between is it pretty good or is it pretty And have at times been a better run blocking group. But, I think Madison's a good one. Like him and Pierce, like you both said, they both could be, I guess, like more breakouts, because Madison's, even as a backup mostly to Dalvin, he's been a guy that's been pretty prominent in the fantasy football world for a while, vulturing a lot of moments there for Dalvin, and at times being the full-on starter when Dalvin got banged up. I think Pierce, though, excited to see what he can do. I think he definitely belongs in this group. I'd mentioned Khalil Herbert because he's so far down, and a team that I think is still going to run the ball quite a bit, and I don't think it's just going to be Justin. So I look at all these other running backs ahead of him, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of good players, but are they going to have a team that, you know, teams a lot of times are going to, when they see that kind of option going, they're going to stick with Fields, not making sure he doesn't hurt them, then Herbert will just go. And even the burst of energy we've seen from him at times with the Bears in the past, I just have a lot of faith in what he can do. And I think that I feel pretty good. None of these guys am I going to be like trying to reach kind of crazily for them, but at least after that group after them, I think there's it kind of slides quickly to where I'm unsure about, you know, the overall production of what P. Ryan's going to be in Denver. Brian Robinson in Washington's kind of been all over the place. Antonio Gibson, maybe Eric Bieniemy is using him more as a receiver and kind of sees that capability. Maybe he's going to rise there. But I don't know. Out of this, like, group that he's around, I have a lot more confidence that Khalil, put him on here because I think he has a chance to really jump up to the group that's more so above him. And then, I think Dobbins, I know that Baltimore's had always a lot of running backs, but if he's on the field and what he can do when he's out there, and I feel a little bit better about that being the case than past years. I know they still have, Melvin Gordon and Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, a lot of the same names we've been saying for a while, but I think Dobbins can be the number one guy, really, if he just stays healthy. Maybe this is the year, hopefully it is. And I still think, even if they are going to be passing the ball more, I still think there's going to be a heavy dose of him. They're going to want to protect number eight as much as they can, so I think that it's not always going to just be stuff again with Lamar running, even if he has to in certain situations. I feel pretty good about Dobbins also in that same group, but I think Madison, you made a good point, and just the fact that you feel like he is for sure the guy, and that's just not, I just don't know for a lot of guys as we go down this list if that's going to be the same case.
All right, so let's talk about some wide receivers. I know we kind of laugh, like, just pick a Chiefs wide receiver and go with them. Like, pick one that you think may wind up being the guy. We don't know who it's going to be. As we talked about before we started recording, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney are both kind of in that same range. Yeah. If you're looking at it just from, like, a fantasy perspective and looking at where guys at, Marquez Valdes-Scantling a little further down behind those guys. But, you know, it's never a bad option. If you're going to take a flyer, which some of these guys, if you're looking at them as, like, sleepers, you're just taking a chance on it, right? I took a chance on Sky Moore last year. Didn't work out. So I wound up cutting him, and it was fine. Everything worked out okay. But if you want to take another chance, I mean, remember, Juju Smith-Schuster's not there anymore. He's in New England with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would, as we talked, Dylan, I'd probably feel more confident in Kadarius Toney probably than any of the receiving group, just because I think he has the highest ceiling of that group. I'm going to give you one that I'm really interested in, and there's a reason why. I don't know how far, you know, he's not like, he's around like the 35 to 40 range and everything I'm looking at in terms of like wide receiver rankings. Marquise Brown with the Cardinals. Now, I know what you're saying. The Cardinals could be the worst team in the NFL, which is exactly what you are curious about when it comes to picking a wide receiver, because that means this team is going to find themselves down by multiple touchdowns at times. And guess who's not there anymore? DeAndre Hopkins is not there anymore. And I know everyone's going to be keying in on Marquise Brown. And we don't know what, you know, Kyler Murray's situation, all that. We don't know. But I still just have to think that on a bad team, as we've seen before, Dylan, there is value for bad teams in fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Marquise Brown could be one of the more valuable options out there, because I think he will get the targets. I think they'll be there. And it's an interesting note here, like Fantasy Pros has this. Through 6 weeks last season, he was wide receiver 7 in fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, and that was without DeAndre Hopkins because of the suspension, right? So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to wind up being, you know, win you your league or anything, but I do think he's one that I would not discount just because he could be on the worst team in the league, perhaps. I think mm-hmm. there's value in that, especially with what they want to do offensively, probably. So, which I know is different now, but it's not Cliff Kingsbury anymore. But he's just someone I'd circle as a possibility in this group. So
I like it. I like, I mean, that note that you said, mentioned about where he was as a fantasy receiver before Hopkins came back and what that could mean. I'm trying to see, though, with Kyler, as we know, there's just the concerns about if they start slow, are they really going to bring Kyler back and try to win a few games when they, you know, they have their pick, Houston's pick, all these quarterbacks at the top of the draft. A lot of things going on that they've tried to say are not the case in terms of tanking. The latest thing I see here is still no timetable for his return. That's the only thing that concerns me. But like you said, they're going to be losing
Josh
a lot
Dobbs
of games.
Josh Dobbs or Colt McCoy are going to be slinging that thing around everywhere because they're not going to have a choice, man. So
yep.
Marquise Brown has to catch at least 5 balls every game somehow, some way.
Yeah. They're going to be losing a lot, and they're going to have to be throwing a lot, as you're saying. And someone has to catch them, so, or at least try to. So, I think in terms of his targets per week, I'd be curious where Brown ends up compared to some of the guys around him. Absolutely. How deep are those targets for given how fast this man is? I will see. Might be a lot of horizontal, turn up the speed and go 4 yards on a dig or slant. But I know Marquise is definitely, in terms of his route running tree, a guy that is a deep threat, so maybe, you know, give him a chance, throw it up there, he can beat some dudes. I like where your head's at there. In that same kind of range of guys, I know a lot of hype around another rookie with Jordan Addison. My concern with him is obviously that Jefferson's still going to be just the number one guy, but does that open some things up for him? We'll see. It's hard to see some of the highlight catches that George Pickens makes and then think that he's not like a top fantasy receiver. It's just not the nature of the Steelers and the offense that they have. Even if I am kind of higher on what this team can do, I understand his range. I think you nailed it with Marquise Brown in this kind of group. The Chiefs receivers, as much as like going on, I'm like, all right, someone has to catch it. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see like 4 guys all with like solid like 600 yard seasons or whatever it is. And like they all kind of just have balance across the board, and I think that's what they've kind of tried to, you know, since they traded Tyreek Hill, they've evolved into not wanting, and some of the losses they had, the heartbreaking losses in the playoffs, where they just had little moments where, man, these guys are at times as great as Kelce and as great as Tyreek Hill, they felt like they were a little too dependent on just one guy and teams knowing who they wanted to go to, and the Bengals in particular kind of locking that up. And last year they were able to become just so hard to defend because you didn't know who's going to be getting the passes. And maybe I've talked myself just over the course of this out of that Kansas City conversation, but I think you do what you said. You take a flyer on a Tony or a Moore or someone, and then if it doesn't work, cut him and find another guy quickly. You know, maybe not too quick, but at least have him on the bench for a sec. It doesn't work, maybe pick up someone else. I know a lot of hype also around Zay Flowers, similar to like Pickens, where I'm like, as much as they want to say these teams are going to be throwing the ball more, do I believe in just one guy being the fantasy receiver? I got in those offenses. I got to wait to see that before it happens. I think Brandon Cooks has some interesting value in Dallas. I do think that he is a burner, and what they might want to use him for in that offense, and how he fits in for the Cowboys. I know he was obviously had a really high target volume in Houston, and that made him a little more valuable fantasy wise. But I'm not sleeping so much on Cooks here. I have him as the beginning of tier six, the 40th receiver. Another guy maybe taking a flyer on and seeing, hey, if he becomes a true number two receiver for an offense that's in the top five potentially, I feel pretty good about that one. So yeah, it's an interesting group of trying to figure out sleepers. Just a lot of these names, again, they're not necessarily guys you're sleeping on. Maybe in terms of their spots, and you can make arguments for where they belong. But I think Marquise Brown, I think you nailed one of probably the best ones to eye that guy. If you get him right around his ADP, snatch him up. Because it does quickly get to a place where, oh, wow, this guy looks talented. I'm excited to see what Odell does with Baltimore. I'm excited to see what Lazard can do still with Rodgers. I'm excited to see what Quentin Johnson can do with the Chargers. But do I have a ton of faith these guys are going to be sleepers that pan out from a fantasy perspective? Not as much.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're kind of just really trying to figure out exactly what this group could look like. And I'll tell you one other guy, Dylan, I'm looking at here. Boy, it's interesting to go to the Broncos offense, but my goodness, I'm going to do it. Injuries have been a theme for that wide receiver group. Tim Patrick, I guess, is Tim Patrick out for the season? He tore his Achilles, right?
I'm pretty sure he had the season injury, and I think it was another ACL injury last year.
Yeah, I think he tore his Achilles. I think he's out for the year. Jerry Jeudy got injured. I don't know exactly what the timeline is on Jerry Jeudy. I know
several weeks is what it said.
Yeah. So that opens up opportunity, at least in the short term, for a guy like Marvin Mims, who they traded up to get him in the second round. Keep that in mind. Remember, like, this isn't a late round guy. Like, he was at Oklahoma, just a very explosive wide receiver. Again, if you're banking on this Broncos offense being better, which, as we said before, it has to be. Sean Payton's there now. They can't be worse than they were last year. It's just, I don't think it's possible. I would take a late round look at Marvin Mims if he's there, because again, he's a rookie, and we know how this works in drafts, Dylan. If you're drafting, sometimes you're just going to go with the known, right? Like, a lot of people, there are a lot of people who don't want to take a chance on rookies because you don't have that data from last year to look at. So it's one of those things. I would definitely give him a look. Again, if you're just thinking that the offense is going to be better, Patrick's out for the year, Jeudy is out for at least for several weeks. I'm not saying you're going to start Marvin Mims in week one, but he's someone I would take a chance on, maybe, if you're just looking at that, final spot or two on your roster and you're like, all right, this guy could break out, have a huge season. I think it's possible because I think, again, with what Sean Payton wants to do, and because they clearly valued his skills to trade up to get him, I would put him in that category. So
I like where your head's at. I think they got the little green arrow on Fantasy Pros for him. I think his value is definitely played up for those reasons, for those injuries, but also just what they've kind of said about him, why they traded up to get him, and what he kind of means. I think he complements well to what Sutton does, and obviously he's going to be probably with Sutton more of the true X kind of receiver. Mims, super fast guy that's going to be working over the middle, maybe in shorter areas. But if you're in a PPR league, half PPR, that could lead to quite a few targets and a lot of plays. Like you said, I think take him late if you can. You're just kind of toward later in drafts, you're trying to find guys that are like, all right, do I feel good about them on the bench, and do they have that kind of pop chance? And there's not, again, there's so many talented receivers, but do they, from a fantasy perspective, do they have that kind of ability to really make a difference? And I think, yeah, if we see Denver become at least a somewhat competent passing game, and I think you've seen at times with two different guys and having those two options that Russell really trusts at times there, and whether it be Curse and Baldwin to more recently Lockett and Metcalf, you see a lot of success. So maybe Marvin has a chance to kind of break in there. I like that one for sure. I think there's some good value there. I know people are high on Mingo with Carolina as well, but for the reason they're a little more in that kind of thing where I'm like, is this team going to quickly figure things out on that side? And I have some concerns more about the offensive line, and I know Denver's not like perfect there, but maybe I've, between the two, even though they got Mingo a few spots higher, I'm feeling, for the reasons you explained, mostly I think I'm taking Mims in that spot over him. Maybe a guy for just trying to still see in this range. I know if John Mechie potentially with Houston, I know he missed a lot of time, obviously, as he recovered from cancer. And I'm so glad he's just out there and was playing in the preseason and looked pretty good. I know I think he had a hamstring thing that popped up at one point. But nonetheless, with how deep he is, I mean, maybe another stash guy, depending on what you think of C.J. Stroud. But I think Mims out of that three, that group of younger receivers. I know Mechie not a rookie, but maybe I'm thinking that Mims is the guy too. I agree with you.
I feel like with the Panthers, it's one of those things where like I feel like it's just like a completely new offense. Like you've got Bryce Young, Miles Sanders is there now, as we said, like DJ Chark's there, Adam Thielen, like Mingo. It's just so many, like so many new faces that I don't feel confident about drafting any of those guys. Like I want to see first of all how everyone's role is going to be. You know, it's nice for Frank Reich to have a lot of, you know, new toys to play with here in terms of like it is pretty much so many new guys. And then, by the way, don't forget they've got like a Terrace Marshall is still there. He's someone that's shown flashes. They've got Laviska Shenault too. So it's like, yeah, I think Jonathan Mingo, you know, speed is definitely in just seeing him with what he could do at Ole Miss. But man, I want to take a wait and see approach on the Panthers right now. Even if they could wind up having a lot of guys that could produce from a fantasy production standpoint, but. We'll see what happens there with that. All right, Dylan, there were our thoughts on fantasy stuff heading into the 2023 season. We said a lot of stuff there, potential breakout candidates, sleeper picks, looking at the top guys at each position. But even more, Dylan, over at Clutch Points to get everybody ready for the upcoming season so everybody knows where they can find all that.
Yeah, for you know, if you're still drafting, hopefully you're still drafting. Again, wait till the end as far as you can before the end of the season. But go to clutchpoints.com to the fantasy section at the top of the page. We have detailed breakdowns of sleepers, breakout candidates, all the things we kind of talked about here, as well as the top players at every position. So you can go to the fantasy section there on the website. Also, the NFL section for all news, breakdowns of overall starting now, just to look ahead at entire season predictions. We'll be doing ours on our next episode, but also kind of team by team breakdowns. You can find in the NFL section on the website and the Clutch Points app. And yeah, no more preseason games, but that's all right, because we're 10 days by the time you listen to this, 9 days away from the season opener. I couldn't be more juiced to see the Lions, which is just a really fun thing to say. So and obviously the defending Super Bowl champions. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And yeah, we have all that covered at Clutch Points in the NFL sections of our app and the website.
And the Rams making a comeback this year. You heard it here first. So
hey, we'll see. That early part of the schedule is brutal, as you talked about last episode.
It's brutal. I will try to get Dylan's Rams back on track here.
They lost 41-0 to the Broncos. They're getting revenge for that Christmas Day game last year.
You know, I mean, it's preseason.
I know.
Come on. So no,
I'm just kidding.
We'll see what happens. Check out everything at Clutch Points, including coverage of the Rams and Broncos as well. But check it all out there. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. Thanks, as always, for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.
Awesome.
There we go.
Click the stop thing.
There we go.
Click the stop
thing. There we go.
Click the stop thing.
There we go.
Click the stop thing.
There we go.
Click the stop.